You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Voices of the Vic podcast with me, Mike Duffy. And as you can see, I am tonight, joined by two other Watford podcasters. That's Ned and James from the Yellow Squared podcast. Thanks for coming on, chaps. It's been a long time coming. We've tried to sort something out and tonight is worked out perfectly that you guys are on. And I was just saying before you come on, before we went live, thankfully, you're not marking your first appearance with a loss to talk about. It was a draw, but it's not a loss. But thank you. Thank you so much, guys, for coming on. How's podcasting for you guys?
Well, it's been great, isn't it? I mean, I won't speak for Ned. I'm sure he can chip in, but yeah, it's been a really enjoyable year. It's actually, I was on Twitter today, it's our Twitter anniversary, 1 year in. So marking it with a birthday and a point, which is quite nice. But yeah, we're having a great time. We're having a good time, mate. How are we, Ned?
Yeah, it's been fantastic. Recently as well, yeah, it's been amazing. Numbers are going up, so it's all we can ask for, really.
Yeah. I mean, we're in our pump in lockdown. I suppose that was the easiest time to be a podcast, I suppose, because no one else is really doing anything. So it is good. And it's good to hear you guys are really flourishing at the moment as well. So long may it continue. I have, for anyone that doesn't listen to these guys, I have actually dropped the link. So if you're watching this back on YouTube or if you're listening to this back on a podcast, I've dropped the social medias, Spotify, Apple Podcasts and YouTube link for the Yellow Squared Pod. It's all in the description, so make sure you check these guys out. We always on this podcast start with the team moves, so we'll dive right in. There were four changes made tonight to the team. Most notably, the two were Batman coming straight in for Hamer and Andrews coming in after this whole stuff with Wayne Andrews on Twitter saying all this stuff, and then Ngakia's injured again, and you start to think, you know, the poor guy can't catch a break. In terms of the team news itself for tonight, it raised a few eyebrows, James, but was there anything there that you wouldn't have done, or you would have gone differently? What was your overall thoughts on the team news tonight?
Well, I must admit, it did raise eyebrows, as you said, when you saw the team sheet come out. My initial thought was, we can't have it both ways, really, as Watford fans. If people are going to drop poor performances or not perform on the day, we can't really be surprised when Val makes a decision. Is what he's shown so far this season. He's willing to make a decision. So that was my initial thought when Backman came in. I don't really think he had any opportunity. Any other option than Andrews coming in at right back now, and Ngakia's injured, because I thought we'd been looking light in midfield in the last couple of weeks, and you need, and we said at the weekend, Delibashiru up in that midfield role is kind of the person you need, that dynamism. So those two made sense. Wasn't sure about Porteous, I'll be honest with you, because I thought Sir Alter and Pollock have done well in the role, but I mean, he scored the goal, so you can't really complain about that. And forgive me, I've forgotten the fourth change, but yeah, there were some eye-opening decisions, but I think you can probably justify it if you're Val.
Yeah, and I think a lot of eyeballs are going to be on it, especially with this whole, is Val going to stay? You know, a lot of people tonight even saying, if we lost, would that have been the straw to break the camel's back? So I think a lot of magnifying on sort of everything that he's doing at the moment. So that's not going to help. But Ned, I mean, yourself, would you have done anything differently tonight with that team?
I'm not sure, to be honest. Obviously, it's a real strange one, bringing in Backman after so long of him being sidelined. But you're looking at some of the recent performances from Ben Heyman, you question some of the goals that he's conceded, and you're thinking maybe it's time to switch things up. So I can't really argue with bringing Backman in, but obviously you see what happens tonight, and that's just, if I've ever seen it, the reaction of a goalkeeper that's not really had a lot of football recently. As for the other changes, obviously a lot of noise has been happening with Andrews recently, so there wasn't any doubt that he was going to come back in. And yeah, it's nice to see Delibashu get his chance in the midfield. I think he's done an okay job at right back, but he's not a right back, so it's nice to see him deployed where he should be. But I'd have personally preferred to see him partner Kone from the start. I wouldn't have had Livermore in there.
Yeah, it's interesting, like you say, with the whole Backman Hamer situation. Hamer's sort of in recent months, he's been the star man, and so many people have said if it wasn't for Hamer, we probably would have lost a lot more games. And then tonight, Backman comes back in, a few people saying, why have we done that? And 18 minutes in, I think he probably showed his rustiness, didn't he, Ned? You know, like you said, for me there, and I try not to point fingers too much, but for me, that's on Backman. That is, he's got to give a shout to Andrews, because the thing is, at the end of the day, that ball was massively overplayed. And from Andrew's point of view, he's got to, because he doesn't know where his keeper is, because he's got his back to him. So as far as he's aware, he's like, right, Backman's there, I'll head it back to him, and that'll kill that move. But yeah, Backman's got to be giving him a shout there, and it's really, really poor. And he's probably not helped his... I say he's not helped his cause. I think... What did you make of Backman overall tonight? I know we'll obviously get further into the game in a minute, but he obviously made that mistake, and you know, I had flashbacks of a Coventry away when that went in. But I think he made a vital save at 1-0, could have very easily been 2-0, and we were just talking before we came on air that it could have got very toxic if that second goal went in. What did you make of Backman, his overall performance, including that error that he made? Do you think he grabbed the opportunity with both hands, or do you think, would you maybe bring Hamer in next game against Coventry on Saturday? What do you think?
Well, I think for me, I thought overall he was decent. You can't really deny that he made at least two or three saves, which kept us in the game. And I thought he tried to be proactive with his distribution. You saw the number of times he did actually play the ball out nice and quick. My fear for Backman is that he listens to the crowd too much, in my opinion. I feel like you really see that he's affected by what's going on behind him. Back end of the second half, and I'm jumping ahead, sorry mate. Back end of the second half, he gets on the ball, he tries to play it quick, he checks because he knows there's no one there, and then he goes quickly and belts it down the pitch, and there was nobody there. So that's my worry about him. But overall, I thought he played well. I think the own goal is absolutely on him, as you said. So I think it's up to Val now, really, on what he thinks going into Coventry as to whether or not he plays, given his history against Coventry. And I do wonder, I mean, maybe it's something to talk about, but that's the second. I don't know how many teams in a league season have conceded two own goals from outside the box. That's something good. But they're both for Backman in goal. So you know, once you is oh, that's a terrible bit of play. But twice, then I feel like you start to think of a pattern there. But Yeah, I think that one's on Val to decide for Saturday, to be fair.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, definitely. And you know, see, typical Watford at the moment. We've ended a run of seven straight defeats at home, which has been the worst run we've had at home since 2013. John Marks was saying on the commentary tonight, the last time we were this bad at home, it was that 2013, and Zola ended up getting sacked off the back of it. So it did worry me if we sacked the manager off the back of something like that. I know what the Potters are like, but it's it's like I say, 18 minutes on the clock and we're 1-0 down. And I wasn't at the game tonight, obviously, but watching from home, you could just tell Ned tonight, as soon as that goal went in, the fans were really, really annoyed. And for me, and I might get a bit of stick for saying this, because I remember when we lost to Swansea last season, we lost 4-0. We did a podcast and we didn't give Swansea any credit whatsoever. And the comment section after the video went out was filled with Swansea fans. So whether the same happens again tonight, I don't know. But I'll say it, Ned, I don't think... They were whizzing the ball around quite nicely at the back, but it was very risky. You know, if they were playing like that against a team that were pressing higher and were more sort of structured and a team with more confidence, I think they would have been on the end of a few hairy moments, because I don't think they were all that, and they were definitely there for the taking, which is probably why the supporters were getting a little bit frustrated, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't think... obviously, we were watching it from home as well, but clearly in the crowd, they could tell that Swansea were there for the taking. You know, like you said, they had a few hairy moments at the back, but we just pressed we kind of half pressed. We obviously looked to push them into that defensive third, but people are not locking on man to man, so it was just making easy options for them. And yeah, like you said, it made them look quite good moving the ball around the back, but. Yeah, I think they were there for the taking. If we'd have all gone together in that press and nicked the ball, who knows what could have happened. But yeah, under pressure, their keeper made a few mistakes with his distribution. So yeah, I don't think they're all that, to be honest. And yeah, I apologise to any Swansea fans that are in the comments section.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll flood through afterwards. But hey, look, it gets us a view, so I'm not going to complain. yeah, so it was very frustrating. And James, I think it probably sums up Watford so far this season. In the final third, any time we were getting there, it's just so frustrating. It's that missing piece of the jigsaw just isn't there. Trying to fit square pegs into round holes. And it's really, really frustrating, because if we were one of these teams that were able to, you give half a chance and we score. I mean, I'll tell you what summed it up perfectly. I don't know if anyone's seen one of Rotherham's goals they conceded last night. A cross come in, Johansson dropped it, and that Sims was literally in the right place and he just headed it in. Now, if that was Watford, I think Johansson would have been able to drop the ball, probably drop it a couple more times and then still pick it up, because in the final third, we're not clinical enough. And tonight that showed, didn't it, James?
Yeah, big time. I mean, we were saying as we were watching along, the amount of times that we got into good positions, Asprey out wide, Dennis out wide, Andrews on the overlap, Lewis out wide, and they just, it feels like they just melt in front of goal. They have no idea what they want to do. I remember it was a clip put out by the club well before Christmas of Val talking about being in front of goal, being aggressive and shooting. And that just hasn't ever transpired. I mean, you know, I know Dennis got a few shots away in the game, but he could have had the shot 5, 6 seconds earlier and 5, 6, 7, 8 touches earlier. Yeah. And it would have been the same result. I would much rather us have in the next game against Coventry, I'd much rather us have 20 shots and they all miss, rather than what seems to be happening at the moment, which is we get to the edge of the box, we cut back, and there's just this pass across the 18-yard box, which nobody seems to want to do anything with. And really, really frustrating, because, you know, I think on the balance of it, on, you know, looking at sort of the overall, I would say, threat of the game, I think we should have won that game tonight.
100%. Yeah, I was going to ask you that later on, and I think I think you make a really good point, though, James. And it is frustrating. I think there's a reason, maybe at the moment, that we're sitting. Is it top of the charts for scoring outside the box and just inside the box? It's almost as if every bit of football knowledge that those players have gained over the years just goes completely out of their head. Dennis tonight, so many times, he's looking for that cutback and, you know, he's going onto his weaker side and then we're trying to play like one too many passes and score the perfect goal. And I mean, I think I skipped this, but that chance, I think it all stems down to confidence, because that chance early on where a sprayer is through, he has to play Ken Semmer through on that left. And funnily enough, actually, it was about a similar sort of angle that Semmer scored against Swansea, at Swansea. I went to that game and no one was expecting him to hit it. And we know what Ken's like. When he's on that left-hand side, he's got a real shot on him. But I think, Ned, that all stems down to confidence, doesn't it? And I think we're playing like a team that is struggling at the moment as well. And that's starting to show with the way that we're trying to score goals, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I think it all comes down to confidence, like you said. Asprey must be one of the players with the most confidence in that team. So looking at it, you're thinking, does he shoot? Should he shoot? He's got to pass it in that situation. Team in general, low on confidence, needs goals. We've been struggling for goals recently. He's just got to slide Semmer in. And I want to say it's a relatively easy finish, but you never know with Watford. So, yeah. He's got to pass it, but it is sort of vindictive of that low confidence in the side and that poor decision making, because ultimately they're just playing like they don't really want to make a mistake. And it's costing us.
Yeah, I think they're being a bit overcautious at times. And you mentioned about it being relatively easy. I mean, I've been watching Watford 20 odd years now, and we don't seem to do relatively easy, unfortunately. So I want to skip forward to just before half time. We saw Ken Semmer, who we've just mentioned, he went off with an injury, and Chatford Dadsey come on. And for me, James, I was going to ask you this at the end, but for me, that's my man of the match today. He come on and changed the tide of the game, and he got us forward every chance he could. Don't get me wrong, it was still sloppy in parts and there were still things we could have done better, but every time he gets the ball, he just drives us forward. And for me, he was a real breath of fresh air tonight.
Oh, yeah, hands down. Comfortably the man of the match, as he said. There was shades of the Watford that we saw sort of just pre-Christmas, you know, getting on the half turn and just driving into that space. And you could see that Swansea had no way of stopping him on the counter. He was, by the end, he was finding space. He was spraying balls left and right. And yeah, his sort of final pass let him down. But I mean, he created the biggest chance for us in the second half, didn't he, with his run into the box and a nice little turn and cut back. I think Asprey just sort of loses his balance slightly as he goes to strike it. He flourishes in that role, in my opinion, becoming a bit more central when he can really drive. And I think actually it's a brilliant bit of business, one to find him in the first place and to snap him up when we did, because I think he's got a future with us. Problem.
Absolutely, and you know the Potsos get stick, and we'll not get onto that tonight. That's a whole different kettle of fish. But they do, to be fair to them, find these sort of diamonds in the rough, if you like. And Chatvatadze is certainly seeming like one of them. We did go into half time 1-0 down. I think John Marks said that was match number 36. Whereby we went into the break losing or not winning. And we've only gone into the break twice this season at home where we've won. And that was QPR and Rotherham. So really, really disappointing. We saw Kone come on at half-time. Ned, what did you make of Kone tonight? Because he's another one. I don't know if you guys have talked about it regularly on your show, but we often find ourselves talking about it on here. he blows hot and cold for me sometimes. You can bring him off on the bench and he will be everywhere and he'll be like, wow, you know, what a player. And then sometimes you'll start him and you'll be like, right, maybe we can see why he's been coming off the bench. But tonight for me, I think he did what he needed to do in that midfield. He got us forward as much as he could. Really good feet at times. So didn't, you know, set the world alight, but also didn't have a stinker for me. So what did you make of Kone's all-round performance from the bench tonight?
Well, yeah, like I said, I would have preferred to see him starting alongside Deli Bashiru, but I completely agree. He blows hot and cold far too much. But I think that's down to confidence more so than the actual ability he has, because we know on his days he's absolutely quality. But it really is it's a confidence interview with Kone. You know, that first game that he came in, Reading away, we were actually there, and he was magnificent. Great, really great debut. And then he just sort of tailed off for the rest of that season. And it felt like another one of those players that you bring in, they make a good instant impact, and then it's just like another one of those players that slips through our fingers. But yeah, he really turned it around this season. He was pivotal in that real good stretch of form going into Christmas, and that's we actually spoke about when he was hooked after the 25th minute or so a couple of weeks ago, what damage that could do to his confidence, and it obviously he didn't react to it well at all, but we were quite concerned really what that would do to his confidence, how he would play when he did come back into the side. But tonight, like you said, he came on, he didn't set the world alight, but he did the job. And it was positive to see him more on the half turn, like we know he can be fantastic at carrying that ball the distance, and that was really key in that good bit of form. So if we can get him back doing that, Chakvetadze doing that, and Kiembe when he comes in to do that as well, then we're back in business as far as I'm concerned. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And evening, Crouchy. Crouchy's watching, obviously, Voice of the Big Faithful. He says, the problem I've got with our midfield at the moment is that whoever is starting isn't doing us any favours. And then we have to make the subs in that position to try and change the game and improve things. We need whoever is starting in the midfield for it to be strong from the start. And this is what I think Ned's just picked up on. And I've just said, you know, a couple of times, Kone, for me, He will come off the bench and he'll play that good. You'll be like, right, we've got to start in the next game. We're starting the next game, and you're sort of watching the TV or you're there and you're like, is he playing? And it's really frustrating. But yeah, the midfield three at times this season has been really dynamic and have helped us. And I think Livermore, he's, it pains me to say it, but he's slowly maybe showing that he's one of the older players in the team. I don't think he's quite made the impact that he did earlier in the season. Maybe tiredness getting to him, I don't know. But yeah, that midfield is a real problem of ours, getting it running consistently. We did score. I mean, but listen, you take anything you can get when you're on a barren run like us. Ryan Porteous got his first goal of the season, I believe. I think John Marks said it earlier on in the game when he missed the chance in the first half, and he said that he's not scored yet this season. And then it was contentious. It was either him or Bio. I think they'll both be looking at that again at the training ground, seeing who got the final nick. But look, we scored from a corner. Chakvetadze swung it in. Hoot was running at the front post, got the flick on, and there was Porteous on the line to get it over the line. And James, it doesn't always have to be pretty. Sometimes that is all it takes, because once that goal went in, the momentum, the noise in the Vic was unbelievable. And from there on in, I thought, if one team's going to win it, it's got to be us.
Yeah, absolutely. We had so many corners in that game. One of them had to create a chance at least. And I'm really pleased that Porteous got the goal. He's had his detractors, ourselves included, with some of the rash play and some of the mistakes he's made. But, you know, he does feel like someone who is, you know, an honest footballer. He wants to do his best at all times, and he's hard working. So I'm pleased that he managed to get the goal. And you know, we've had our issues with set pieces this season, and it was just nice that we managed to finally make one pay off, because I thought the delivery was better tonight than it had been in previous weeks. And it was a good ball in, and it was, you know, like you said, nice run across the post from Hoot to flick it over, and we got the goal. And it's amazing. You like what you say. It's amazing what a goal does, right? For the side, you could see that we just looked like we needed something to drop, and then the belief happened, and we were saying, not sort of whilst we were watching along, what I didn't want us to do was treat it like the 90th minute then and just pile people forward, because I had this horrible fear that we would just, you know, the rookery would sort of suck everyone up. And we'd have 11 people pressing the keeper, Rushworth, and all we'd do is just one ball over the top, and then we'd be back to 2-1. But, we had good momentum, and we just, as we said already, we just fell apart in the final third, and we just couldn't make it pay off, disappointingly. Because, yeah, really, I mean, apart from the own goal, I mean, all game, Swansea didn't offer too much all game. So, but yeah, I just really, really wanted one to drop and to get the win, because I think that would have taken the roof off the Vic, and that would have probably brought everyone back together again, I think.
Yeah, and I think you sum it up perfectly there. You know, that you know when it's not dropping for you, and tonight was one of those nights. And unfortunately, I find myself saying that more often than not recently. You know, it just wasn't one of them days. And you know, Rotherham felt like it was going to be not one of those days, but Yasser Asprey come out and pulled Sonny out of the bag. And yeah, it's just frustrating. You know, these last ditch tackles. You know, even Lewis was getting in on it. He could have had a couple tonight, but there were blocks, a sprayer. It's just very, very frustrating. And I'd be intrigued to know, actually, Ned, Ned and James, what your guys' thoughts on Rajovic are, because he's one that comes up quite regularly in topic of conversation on this podcast. And I don't want to slag him off too much, because when you sit back and really look at it and look at the bigger picture, this is his first season in the second tier of English football, which is probably one of the most physical leagues around. He's only recently started playing professional football over in Sweden, where he's been, and you know, he's not been in the professional game very long, and he's come over and he scored 10 goals in his first season. And it was quite interesting, actually. Troy said a little piece on him on the Do Not Scratch Your Eyes podcast, saying that He does the tricky part of being a striker, which is being in the right place at the right time, which ultimately, you know, you could name so many strikers that was their bread and butter, being in the right place at the right time. But for me tonight, I just thought, Ned, that we very much, when Bio's on the pitch, he likes to press and press, and that front three were really pressing, and you know, Swansea looked shaky at the back, and there was a couple of moments you thought, or you hoped more like, that Rushworth was going to completely shank it or pass it straight to one of our players, or a pass back to the keeper was not going to have enough on it. And we were really pressing and we were really tenacious at times. But as soon as Rajovic comes on, I don't know if he's being told to do different to Bio, because he just does not look like he wants to press. I'll give him his due tonight, though. A couple of times, you know, he won a couple of headers and his hold-up play is getting better. But for me, I just think we completely change, and the momentum changes completely tonight for the final 10 when he come on. But what's your thoughts on Rajovic as a whole and Rajovic coming on tonight? Because he didn't do much. He might as well have stayed on the bench for me. But
yeah, it's Rajovic is a very, very I'm trying to think of a word there. he splits opinions, we'll say the least. On our podcast, we talk about him quite often, and not a lot of the time is it very positive, to be honest. Sometimes it comes on, it feels like we go down to 10 men. He really doesn't offer what he needs to, and like you said, yeah, he has that knack for being in the right place at the right time, but for all of his physical attributes, he doesn't utilize any of them nearly as much. We appreciate that when he comes on for Bio, it does change up front. The athleticism is completely different. So we're likely to see less of a press, and that's okay. But he does not do nearly enough of a hold up with the ball. His link-up play is improved over the season. I will give him that. But it's not nearly as good as what Bayo can offer. I think Bayo can trap the ball with a man on his back much better than Rybic can. And it's frustrating because I like Rybic's story. I think he's a good lad. And there are plenty more goals for him to score. He just needs to improve and be more of a well-rounded player, because I think you could probably get away with it at a lower level. But in the Championship, those defenders will eat you alive if you give them the chance. And his touch isn't quite there. And yeah, like I said, the hold-up play it needs to improve, because I think Bayo offers a lot more up front.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I do feel for Bayo, because he's another one. You know, Watford fans can be relentless at times. He gets a lot of stick, but I think his work off the ball goes unnoticed quite a bit sometimes. And I just feel bad, because the goals that he's got this season isn't as many as he would have liked, we would have liked, or, you know, he would have expected either. But I think his work rate is second to none at times. And, you know, again, just before the final whistle, there was 5 minutes added on. We had three real big chances that on another day they go in, and that's what happens when your looks out, which ours is at the moment, those chances go a begging, and we're sitting here talking about a point, and we are now sitting on 45 points, and Stoke and Huddersfield, Stoke occupy the last relegation spot, sitting on 38 points. It's getting quite close there with Coventry up next. James, just before we wrap it up, how would you sum that up in comparison to other weeks? Obviously, recently we've had some real turgid performances and results. Would you say that was an improvement coming away from that game tonight, or are there signs that this Watford team has got fight in them to avoid relegation, or are you not even thinking about relegation? You might be thinking something different.
I think there are clear signs that they still want to perform. I think they're behind Val still. I think they're trying to implement a system, and that, you know, I have noticed a difference. Huddersfield, I think, of the three games in this run was by far the worst. Ironically, we were winning that game. But I saw a difference at Millwall. I saw a difference this evening, in terms of how we wanted to go about playing. I'll say it now. I'm pretty confident we'll be safe. There's a lot of games left this season, and you know, we probably need 5-6 points. If we're being brutal, we probably need 5-6 points from what was it, like 10 games now?
Yeah, 10 now.
I think we will have enough. Mm-hmm. So I'm not particularly concerned that we will go down just yet. My concern would be for next season, but that's for another podcast. I think there's signs of life. I think we just need to come up against a team that drops a below par performance, and I think we'll win that game, and that will give us the boost that we needed in confidence to kind of prove to themselves they can go and win games again. Because they're, as we've said already this evening, we're getting into the right places. We're getting into the right spots of the pitch to cause teams trouble. We're just not executing at the final minute. And I think that's a better place to be than scoring but conceding loads. And we could have folded. We could have completely folded tonight with the whole atmosphere, with the run of form, with just kind of the unsavoury kind of feeling around the club, going a goal down like we did with our own goal. And as we said, if it goes 2-0, we could have folded, and we didn't, and we came back and we got a point at the end of the day, which was the least that we deserved.
Absolutely. I think that's very key to say, actually. You know, we often refer back to last season and how poor that was, and so many sort of examples of games this season that I can think of where I think if that was last season, we'd probably go on to lose or not win. And yeah, tonight, you know, especially recently, it was nice to see that we go a goal down, you know, own goal, heads are dropped, confidence looks sharp, but we still manage to come away with something. And yes, it's not a home win, which we bloody well like, because it's been a long time since we've won at home, but it stops the rot. That's ultimately what you want. And yeah, we've got some tricky games coming up. I mean, you mentioned there, I personally think we need two wins in our next run, and we'll be safe. And I was looking at some of our fixtures thinking, right, where are those two wins going to come from? And I think I earmarked this game and Birmingham away, but even Birmingham away, I think will be a tricky proposition. So, but yeah, I hope, you know, performances like tonight show that we have got maybe a little bit more fight in us. And I really hope, I'm just trying to be as positive as possible. I really hope it just was one of them nights where they were getting toes on the end of shots and last ditch blocks, and another night those drop in and you're winning that game comfortably and everyone's happy and just can't get enough. He's belting around the Vic and everyone's all good. So fingers crossed it won't be long before we taste a home defeat. As Joe rightly pointed out in the comments there, 14 weeks without a home win. I mean, that does sound really bad. But yeah, I think we'll perfectly wrap it up there. We're talking on a bit of a positive note. But like I say, thank you very, very much, chaps, for coming on and chatting to myself. Just before we go, when are you guys next podding? You want to plug it a bit? Where can you be found? What have you got coming up?
Do you want to take this one, Ned?
Yeah, of course. Always happy to. Next pod will likely be out on Monday morning. We usually do an audio at midnight, so you can check that out. Perfect for your early morning commute. On the way to work, school, whatever you're doing. And then the YouTube video always follows on Wednesday. So if you're a YouTube viewer, check it out then. But yeah, keep supporting. Thank you.
Yeah, very good. Make sure you check them out. Like I said, if you're listening on podcast, check the description of this podcast. All the links for these guys' social media and where you can find them is all on there. So it can take you straight to their Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, etc. Drop them a follow, drop them a like as well on the YouTube videos. And also drop a like on this video as well. If you've enjoyed it, hit that subscribe button. We're slowly, slowly creep into that 500 mark. Every time I check now, we're slowly getting there. So it'd be nice to hit that before the end of the season. But thank you very much, chaps, for coming on tonight. We'll definitely do this again sometime, and hopefully next time it'll be a win to mark your second appearance on Voices of Vic.
Yeah, mate. Thank you so much for having us. It's been a pleasure. Loved it.
No problem. Well, thank you guys for watching. Like I say, drop it a like. Drop a subscribe. Myself and Ben will actually be back tomorrow, so it's very quick turnaround. We're speaking to the Sky Blue Hub to talk about this Saturday's game against Coventry City at the Vic. So we'll be live on Facebook and YouTube, so make sure you join in and ask any questions that you want to know regarding the Coventry camp, because things have been a bit spiky with them recently, even though they won the last game 5-0, and that things haven't been great. So it could be quite interesting. But yeah, till next time, thank you very much for watching. Come on, you Orns.
Cheers, guys. Sports Social Podcast Network.